Good morning, everybody. We have learned till the end of Pasuk Yud in chapter 2. And the basic thrust of the shiur last week was, here it was, the will and testament of David to Shlomo. So he tells him, yes, first, you should keep mitzvah, you should go in the way of God, keep his statutes, so that God should fulfill to you all that he promised to me. And then he gives him three specific instructions. One is with regard to who's the first one that he mentions? Now Yoav is the last one. Where are we? Here we are. Chapter 2. Yes, Yoav and Tzruya. I'm sorry. You know what Yoav and Tzruya did. And therefore he says at the end of Pasuk 6, below Toreid, Sevato b'shalom Sha'ol, don't let him go down in peace into the grave. That was 6. And then Pasuk 7, he says, Barzilai ha-Giladi, who was good to me, remember him and let him be a member of your household all of his life, because he was the one who was good to me when I fled before your brother Avshalom. And then there's Shimi ben Gera, who cursed me a terrible curse on that day, and him, bring him down in blood to the grave. So the approach that we took last week basically was that one should not be left with the impression that this indeed was the last will and testament of David. There is so much more that was said by David. There was so much more that was said by David in Sefer Divrei Hayom. And the point that we wanted to make is that in order to properly understand Tanakh, there has to be a view of all of Tanakh. The Talmud Yerushalmi, Divrei Torah, Aniyim b'Mekom, Divrei Torah are poor in one place, va'aniyim, va'ashirim b'Makom Acher, and they are rich with information elsewhere. Torah has to be looked upon as one unit, one total unit. And by the way, very often those who are opposed to Torah, or those who want to denigrate Torah, will always zero in on one pasuk and take it out of context, which is precisely what is being done all the time. It's as old as the hills. Take one event or take one sentence out of context, say that's what such and such persons or people stand for, and then therefore you have placed collective guilt on everybody. I remember there was a period of time where in my younger years I'd be debating with people in college, Timche et Zecher Amalek, destroyed Amalek utterly. How could God say something like that? How could there be a divine Torah that says something like that? This is one of the things, and what always amazed me was, this was in the 50s and the 60s on university campuses, only 10 years after the Holocaust, and they had difficulty understanding, until somebody talked to them, they had difficulty understanding that there's such a thing as absolute and irrational evil that can only be treated by destroying it utterly. There is absolute irrational evil. There's always the I had it with rabbis of sorts, but I can't attack rabbis now because all rabbis are under attack. I think I should stop walking around with my smichan. I happen to have one from Rav Herzog, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. I think I have to walk around with it in order to prove now I'm a real rabbi. The idea that a kohen cannot marry a divorcee, a grusha. I remember a rabbi in my neighborhood saying, but they love each other. You know, those were the days in which love was the in thing, you know, the symbols of love and peace and all the rest, love, shmav. And therefore, again, marriage was still stylish, so therefore, how can Torah stand in the way? So, you know, it's always easy to take a pasuk out of context and say that's all of Torah. To truly appreciate and understand Torah, one has to have a knowledge of it all. And that was the point that I was making in the shiur last week. But there are two things that I can't overlook. Even if we are to assume, even if we would for a moment assume, that what David HaMelech says now, here in Malachim, to Shlomo would indeed have been his last words, we have to understand that as well. Because what he is really saying is that there are people with whom you will never be able to negotiate. These are people whose vested interests are such that they pose a real threat to your kingdom. They represent clear and present danger. And you have to know, don't make the mistakes that I made. This is what he's telling him. At the same time, of course, that he's balancing it by saying there are people who are good to you, but there are people who are a threat. And we did point out that there was a difference in the way he spoke about Yoav ben Tzruya and the way in which he spoke about Shimi ben Gera. Shimi ben Gera was the one who cursed him, that terrible curse. And it was the difference, of course, between Shimi ben Gera. Shimi ben Gera may still be living with the idea that someday the house of Shaul is again going to ascend the throne, because he was from the family of Shaul, you know. I don't know, the Romanovs, they'll find Anastasia, and you understand the Tsar is going to come back to St. Petersburg. These kind of people will always be an absolute threat to your throne. So therefore he says, bring him down in blood to the grave. That's not what he said with regard to Yoav ben Tzruya. With regard to Yoav ben Tzruya, he said, let him not go down in peace to the grave. And I believe it's for that reason that Rashi says, Yoav has to suffer in order that he should be worthy of Olam Haba. In the final analysis, you know what he's saying? Yoav is still, he's Mishpucha. He's Mishpucha. And what he really wants is, Yoav has sinned. Yoav is going to have to pay. And in the payment for his sin, he's going to achieve something that he was not able to achieve in his lifetime. I'm certain that Rashi brings this from Chazal, and because he's looking at the psukim as they are, there's a difference. And by the way, in neither one of them does Shlomo have to... Is Shlomo told to act? Just watch these people, and we're going to see how Shlomo acts. What's important over here also is David in Pasuk 7 in chapter 2, he says, V'ata now altenakehu, let him not be absolutely clean of punishment, ki ish chacham ata, because you are ish chacham. You're wise. That's chapter 2, Pasuk 7. Am I... Well, no, I'm sorry. There's 9. Pasuk 9. It's a little erased over here. He's pointing out that Shlomo is wise, and therefore Shlomo will know how to do it with wisdom. Alright. Vahayamim. Let's go. Pasuk 11. Vahayamim asher malach David al Yisrael, the days that David ruled over Israel, arba'im shana, were 40 years. The Chevron malach sheva shani, who be Yerushalayim malach, Shloshim v'shalosh shanim. In Hebron, he was king for 7 years, and Yerushalayim, he was king for 33 years. What's fascinating and is most probably not known to all people, and I don't know, maybe it's part of the tragedy or the burden of Malchus, David HaMelech died at age 70. He was king for 40 years. We, of course, know, tradition tells us that he died, Gemara says he died on Shavuos. Shavuos, that's why Shavuos is sort of the yontif of David HaMelech. What is not known is, Pasuk in Divrei Yom says, the David Zakein Usvayamim. David was old and sated in days. And he died at age 70. I don't know, 70 is not that old anymore. No, not because in those days it was old. We're going to see that Barzillai HaGiladi and others, 80, 90, 100 years. But David HaMelech lived longer than all of the kings of Yehuda. Every other king died younger than 70. Not a single one made it to 70.
Their days were longer.
Because the job was one that robbed person of the power of life. Shlomo also, he was in his 50s. With Malchus, Malchus, do you understand? We usually think, I don't know why, as a child, I always think, I know why it is. because there's that famous medrash that says that David was supposed to be stillborn.
Yes.
And Adam HaRishon, who was supposed to live 1,000 years, gave 70 years of his life, he gave to David. So I think, you know, learning that medrash as a child, I always thought, no, that's all they gave him, you know, that's all he got. And then when you go through Tanakh and you see, fact is he lived longer than every other king. No other king lived as long as David. Because it's not easy to be king. Shlomo Yashar al Kisei David Aviv, and Shlomo sat on the throne of his father David, Atikon, Malchuto, Miod, and his kingdom was greatly established. Now here is something very fascinating. In Divrei Hayamim, when it comes to these psukim, the death of David, and Shlomo takes over, there it doesn't say Vatikon, Shlomo Yoshev al Kisei David, Shlomo sat on the throne of his father David. It says Vayimlok Shlomo, Shlomo ruled Tachas in place of his father David. You remember we talked about these two phrases, Yeshev al Kisi, the one who will sit on my throne, and the one who will be Molech, who will rule. It's fascinating that one is chosen here in Malachim, and the other is chosen in Divrei Hayamim. And I believe the reason for this is the following. We would normally have expected that since this is Sefer Malachim, it should have said, Vayimloch Shlomo, and Shlomo was king in place of his father. But instead it says, Shlomo Yashav al Kisei David Aviv. Shlomo sat on the throne. Why? Because sitting on the throne represents the continuity. That he's the one Molech. There can even be an interim ruler who is Melech. But to sit on the throne represents the continuity. And in Sefer Malachim, what we want to stress is the house of David will continue from father to son, father to son. Remember, soon we're going to have side by side the kingdom of Yisrael. 10 tribes are going to break off and create their own kingdom. And there, it will be rare for children to follow their fathers. There are going to be 18 kings. And those 18 kings are going to be from 9-10 families. You know, some kings will have a son who will sit on the throne. And then unfortunately we're going to come to the stories of assassinations in the in Malchus Yisrael and a little bit in Yehuda. But here in Sefer Malachim what has to be stressed is the idea of Malchus Beis David has continuity, whereas other forms or others who are kings do not have continuity. With this, we really we complete the life of David. From the next pasuk on, we're going to talk about the life of Shlomo. We move to a new kingdom. So, just another few words about this. I think there are a number of interesting things that will still be related to all of this, but it basically, in the last will and testament, as we have it here. David HaMelech is telling him, you have to remove evil. Evil must be fought. Tzrichim l'rasek otam. All right. Those who pose a threat. The Abarbanel, Don Yitzchak Abarbanel says that this last will and testament of David was not as much command or will and testament as it was good advice. What he's telling him is, be careful. Be careful. Unfortunately, we as a people have learned that you have to listen to the voices that say, be careful. Be careful. I mean, and most probably in the coming weeks, the rest will begin to emerge of all the warnings that the Shabak may have had, the terrible breakdown. People who warn, who describe. You have to be smart in order to take the advice. And that's how the Abarbanel describes it. Remember, the Abarbanel was the treasurer of Ferdinand and Isabella. And he was the only one who was told by Ferdinand, all Jews were ordered out of Spain in 1492, but they told him that he could stay. I mean, he was their Rothschild, their Morgenthau, Weiss, their Shaul Eisenberg. He was the power behind the throne. But he chose to go off with his people into exile. And it's fascinating he wrote as he wandered. He didn't travel. He wandered in exile. He wrote a great deal of his parish on Chumash and Tanakh without any stochem with him, and he quotes Rambans and Gemaras and Rambams Baal Peh, and he writes them down. He writes it, and every step of the way he will say where he wrote this part of his parish, where he wrote that part of his parish. He was awesome. He lived in the house of royalty. He was intimately involved, and he knew of all of the palace politics, plots. He was aware of it. He knew most probably what was going on in the palace of Ferdinand and Isabella, as he knew what was going on in many other palaces. So he sees this. Here is a young boy, wise, who is assuming the throne. He must learn from David's mistakes. He has to be given fair and square warning. He does not see this last will and testament as hasata, incitement to go out and kill these people. But you have to be forewarned. He has to give him the benefit of his vast experience, which is exactly what he did. And more than that, what David really is admitting to his son on his death is that he had weaknesses. There were moments of weakness in his life, and he's telling Shlomo, don't you be as weak as I was. For example, when Shimi ben Gera comes out and curses David, as David is fleeing from before Avshalom, the fact is, Halacha says, I'm afraid to say what Halacha says. The Halacha says, Melech Shemachal al Kvodo, a king who's mochel on his covet, ain't Kvodo mochel, he doesn't have the right. Somebody who abuses the king is Chayiv Misa. And they wanted to kill him. And David said no. It may have been a weakness on David's part, and David wants to make certain that Shlomo is not going to be weak. All right, let's go. Vayavo Adoniyo ben Chagido bat Sheva ein Shlomo. Here it's interesting just to watch the dialogue and see how the dialogue develops. We're in chapter 2, pasuk 13. Vayavo Adoniyo ben Chagido bat Sheva ein Shlomo. Adoniyo ben Chagid came to bat Sheva, the mother of Shlomo, Vatoma, and he said, Vatoma, and she said, Hashalom Boecha. Now, Hashalom Boecha can mean one of two things. It most probably means both. Do you come for peace? Or is there peace with you? Is everything okay with you? Both of them. Vayome, and he said, Shalom. Okay. Vayome, and he said, Dovor li Eloyech. I have something to say to you. Atome, and she said, Daber. Speak. I mean, that's the least amount that she could have said to him. There's no less that she could have said. Daber. Vayomer. And he said, just the fact that you have all of these vayomers means what you should be able to sense from the pasuk is you can cut the tension in that room with a knife. This is not a simple meeting. This is certainly the first time since Adoniyahu ben Chagit attempted to take over the kingdom, and who was the one that had to save herself and her child? This was Bat Sheva. And here, he comes to her. I mean, this is, so there's no question about it that the moment that he walks in or he sends a messenger that he wants to come, there's already great tension. What is it that he wants? And therefore she asks, Hashalom Boecha, do you come in peace? Yeah. I have to say something to you, so she says nothing more than Daber. Now, watch how she changes. Yes.
Why did she speak to him at all?
Why did she speak to him at all? First hear what the man says? First hear what the man has to say? Especially since she has asked him, do you come in peace? She comes in peace, so she's a Yiddish mama. And what happens if she will be able to be the instrument of bringing peace between Adoniyo ben Chagit and her son? What does a mother want more than anything else? Kinderlich. Shashtil. I mean, obviously there's got to be tension in the palace. There has to be tension in the palace. Adoniyo ben Chagit is the one who's walking around, and he was yesterday's rebel. Yes.
Couldn't she also be doing information gathering?
That could also be. Maybe she wants to hear what he has to say. You never from listening, you never lose anything by listening. Question is, what do you do after you hear? Right. Very good. Vayomer, so he said, Ab yodat, you know, ki li haita hamelucha. You know that the kingdom really belonged to me. Valai samu kol Yisrael p'neihem limlach. Not only was I legally the one who should have been king, but the people, the masses out there, had looked to me. Upon me they had placed their eyes that I should be king. But tisov hamelucha, and the kingdom sort of, you know, turned, datihila achi, and it went to my brother. Ki mi Hashem haitalo. It is from God that it was his. Now, this is, he talks about Shlomo HaMelech as Achi, my brother, and he's saying, listen, let's say that there was a dispute or a contest between the two of us, and I accept the fact that the Psak Halacha came min Hashemayim, ki mi Hashem haitalo. Now, you know, it's always... I always love the connections, you know, as we learn something. Is there anything about this pasuk that would you remind you of Parashat HaShavua? I know it's a difficult question. Eliezer comes to get a wife for Yitzhak. He comes to the house of Lavan and Besuel. And he tells them the whole story of he came to the well, you know, and he brings in an atmosphere of Yiddishkeit and God and Nochamo God, and I prayed to God and I spoke to God and God said, the God of my master Avram, and can you imagine? Lavan and Besuel say, you know what their response to Eliezer is? Me Hashem yatzah davar lo nuchal daber elecha ra'utov. There's nothing left for us to say. May Hashem yatzah hadavar. Now, you understand? When these idolaters say, May Hashem yatzah hadavar. And of course, you know, there's a great level of meaning of this May Hashem yatzah hadavar. If I will go into that, it'll be already a shiur on Parashat HaShavua. In other words, what comes into question over here is, you know, marriages made in heaven, you know, zivug min hashamayim, all sorts of other things. But maybe one of these years we'll do that in Parashat HaShavua. May Hashem yatzah hadavar is certainly one of the most significant psukim in the parasha. Ki mi Hashem haitalo. All right. V'yato sheila achata nochi shoel mitach. I have only one question that I ask of you. I have one request. Al tashivi et panai. Don't turn my face away empty. Ratomere love, daber. She said to him, speak. Now, do you know what's fascinating about these three words? In Pasuk 13, Vayavar Adoniyo ben Chagid el Batsheva, Adoniyo ben Chagid came to Batsheva, the mother of Shlomo, Batomer, she said, Hashalom Oecha, Batomer. In the next Pasuk, he said, I have something to say to you, Batomer, and she said, Taber. In this Pasuk, it says, Batomer, a love. You have to notice that. Do you know what the Batomer love means? The Batomer love means sort of she is becoming warmer to him. Right? He has succeeded in sort of breaking the ice, making the atmosphere. You know, but before it was very mechanical. She has nothing. Batomer, she said, Daber, speak. She said, have you come in peace? But Tomere love, she is communicating with him, she is connecting with him, which means, of course, that Batsheva, seduced is the word you said, alright? It means that Adon Yob and Chagid he's done a good job so far. It seems like a simple request. Here is a man who has made a declaration that the kingdom belongs to his brother, and he speaks about brother. We're talking about conciliation. We're talking about bring us together again. That's what we're talking about. And she obviously seems to be responding. She's responding. Vayoma, so he said, Invina l'Shlomo HaMelech. Please say to Shlomo the king. Yeah. Before he was Achi, Now he's talking about him as Shlomo HaMelech. Kilo Yoshiva Tanayach, because he's certainly not going to use the same phrase again. He's not going to turn you away, your request away. All that I want is the tainly that Avishar Hashunamit Leisha. He should give me Avishar Hashunamit as a wife. Now tell me about Sheva. But Sheva said, Tov, good. Anochi Adaber Olecha El HaMelech. I'm going to speak about, on your behalf, I'm going to speak to the king. Batovo Batsheva El HaMelech Shlomo. Batsheva came to the king Shlomo. I don't have it fully worked out yet, but I always like to point these things out. In Pasuk 17, Vayomer, he said, Adonai ben Kargit said, Imdino, say Lishlomo HaMelech. To Shlomo HaMelech. The Pasuk says, Batsheva came El HaMelech Shlomo. Is there a difference between him being called Shlomo HaMelech or HaMelech Shlomo?
More official.
HaMelech Shlomo is more official. No, she's now coming to make a request of him as a king. I don't think that this fully explains it, but we have to watch these nuances because it's very important. Maybe there is something familiar about Adoniyahu ben Chagit speaking. Remember, it's a brother speaking to a mother about her son. So, he's Shlomo who became king, okay? But she's now coming to make an official request. Let's see how her son reacts to his to this request. L'daber, Batavah Batsheva HaMelech Shlomo, Batsheva came to the king Shlomo, L'daber lo al Adoniyahu, to speak to him about Adoniyahu. Vayakam HaMelech L'grosa, the king stood up before her, Vayishtachula, he bowed down to her, Vayeshev al Kiso, and he sat down on his throne, Vayosem Kisei Le'em HaMelech, and he placed the throne for the mother of the king, Vateshev Li'imino, and she sat to his right hand side. By the way, there is a medrash that says the chair was not for Batsheva. The mother of the king here is the queen mother. Do you know who's still alive? Rut is still alive. The Gemara refers to Rut as Ima Shel Malchus. She is the mother of royalty. She's the queen mother. Can you imagine? That's one of the Mepharshim says that it's She's a very old woman. She's a grandmother. She's great. Oved is her son. Yishai is her grandson. David is her great grandson, and Shlomo is great great.
But you call the queen mother.
Yeah.
She's still alive.
That's what the Medrash says. I didn't tell someone. Mother of royalty. I tell you, just as I think of it now, do you know what it means for Ruth to be alive when Shlomo sits on the throne? You know what it means? That everything that she had been promised and everything that was supposed to happen happens, and she sees it in her lifetime. If she would have died while David was on the throne, not enough. The moment, when does Malchus Beis David, the house of David, become Malchus? Only when Shlomo sits on the throne. The moment that it passes from father to son, then it's Malchus. And if she is referred to as Ima Shel Malchus, the mother of royalty, the only time you can say Malchus is the moment that Shlomo sits on the throne. Atome. So now Batsheva. Sheila achat ketana anochi shoelet me'itach. When does she add the word ketana? I want you to know. Sometimes you people, just when I have to say the pasuk to you, you inspire me. I wasn't worried about the word ketana, small request. Is it possible that she knows that this is not a small request? Is there some place in the consciousness of Batsheva that there may be a plot over here, and Adoniyahu ben Chagit is not being as innocent as he seems to be? That could be in the word ketana. She could have said, just as what were the words that Adoniyahu ben Chagit used? Shela Achat. Right? He didn't use the word Ketana. I better check it. Shela Achat Anochi Shoel Miitach. Right, I'm right. He said, I have one request to make of you. When she says it to David, she adds the word Ketana. It's a small request. By the way, she's done this before. Don't you remember in the last chapter when Natan tells her what to say to David? She doesn't just follow instructions. She changes things around in order that she should get her way. She obviously, she must somewhere in her consciousness, she must assume that this is not such a small request.
Why did she make a small thing if she thinks that it might be a problem?
Because I think that as far as she's concerned, maybe it's not such a small request, but she as a mother may think that it will be in the best interests of Shlomo to accede and go along with this request. Watch. She takes a phrase out of Adoniyahu ben Chagid's book. Don't turn my face away. Don't send me away empty-handed. So King said to her, Shalimi, ask my mother. Ki lo oshiv et panayach, I will not turn you away. By the Talmud, so she said, "Yutan et Avishak Hashunamit la Adoniyahu achicha liisha. Let Avishak Hashunamit be given to your brother Adoniyahu as a wife." Vayam Hamelech Shlomo Vayomar. Now here you also have to know just the style. It could have simply said Vayomer, right? Every time we have a dialogue, and this has been a morning of dialogue. Vayomer, 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 Vayomer. Vayan Hamelech Shlomo Vayom Eliimo. When you say sort of Vayan Vayomer, that represents that what's going to be made over here is not simply an answer to a request, a statement of policy. Whenever you have Vayan Vayomer, that means an extremely important statement is going to be made. Vayan Hamelech Shlomo Vayom Eliimo. V'loma Ad Shoelet Et Avishak Hashunamit L'Adoniyo. Why are you asking that Avishak Hashunamit should be given to Adoniyo? V'shali Lo Et Hamelucha. Go ask. Go ask to give him the kingdom. He's my older brother. He may very well believe that the kingdom should be his. And maybe you should ask for positions for Eviatar HaKohen and Yoav ben Tzruya, those who have been removed from their positions. What does Shlomo understand? Shlomo understands that this is not a simple request. Why is it not a simple request? Says the Gemara. Over here you have to know the halacha. The halacha is the following. There is a halacha brought in the Mishnah, Paskin in the Rambam. Ein mishtamshin b'sharvito shel melech. No one is permitted to use the scepter of a king. Which means, and the halacha goes on to say, not only you can't sit on his chair, you can't use his pen, you can't use his pencil, you can't ride in his chariot, you can't ride on his horse. The halacha says, "Som tosim alecha melech." The pasuk in Dvarim that says you should place a king upon you, shetehei emato alecha. The fear of the king should be upon you. There's the what's the difference between kibud av vein and mora av vein? Kibud av vein is one thing to honor, and then to fear. Says the Gemara, what's fear? You don't sit in a father's seat or in a mother's seat. Kavod you need to stand up for them, but there are certain things that represent the idea of fear. The fact that something that's been used by the king cannot be used by any other commoner, this sets the king apart from everybody else. The question is, Avishan Hashunamit is in a twilight zone in halacha. Why? Because it says that Hamelech, the king, lo yida'ah, he never consummated any marriage with her. He never entered into a marriage agreement. So what halacha does she have? The fact is that no one is permitted to live with the almana of a king. When Absalom wanted to show and demonstrate for all of Israel that he is the king and his father is no longer king, so Achitophel gave him the advice to take the pilakshim of his father, go up on a roof and come to them by his, in a sense symbolically, coming to the wives of David. He is therefore saying he has taken a step from which there is no return. He is king. Because no one is permitted to use that which belongs to a king unless he's a king. By wise, it's there, even that is not permitted. But Avishak Hashunamit is, in the eyes of the world, she is the almana of David. In the eyes of Halacha, she's not, because he never consummated any marriage with her. So therefore the Gemara says, to Shlomo, she would be permitted, but to Adonio ben Chagit, she's not permitted. To Shlomo, she is permitted, because halachically and legally, she was never the wife of David. So she was neither the wife of his father, nor was she the wife of a king, who would be prohibited to Shlomo. But there's also a second aspect. The second aspect is, how is the perception of the populace? In their perception, she was the almana of the king. For somebody to take her in marriage would be equal, tantamount, to being mishtamesh, using Sharpito Shemalach. What he would be doing, what Adoniyo ben Chagit would really be doing, is really making clear that he still has a claim on the kingdom. That's what it would be. And Bathsheba, did she understand it? Didn't she understand it? I'm not certain. I'm really not certain. Because remember, you know, one of the things that's interesting, Bathsheba was a central figure in the last, 20 prakim of Shmuel. She's a central figure. There are only two words that she says. There are only two words that are quoted in all of Shmuel. Hora Anochi. She sends a message to David, I'm pregnant. That's it. All of a sudden, this same Bathsheba, from whom we've heard very little, except for those two words, all of a sudden she becomes now, she does a lot of talking in chapter 1 and in chapter 2, but she speaks with wisdom. All of a sudden, yes. All of a sudden, she remembers. Nasan Anavi comes to her. She goes and she speaks to the king. She is now the one who, with whom Adoniyo ben Chagit is negotiating. The word katana, the fact that she asks for just a little, something little, gives me an indication that she knew that this is a dangerous, dangerous request. Dangerous request. So she does it. I don't have one of them affirmed yet behind me. Is it possible? I mean, this is a far out theory, but we're living in days of far out theories. Maybe she's sending a message to Shlomo that Adoniyo ben Chagit is a threat. Is that possible? I don't know. Today, every time we read the papers, we're trying to figure out what everybody's plotting. You know, we don't believe any politician when he makes a statement. What we always want to know is what's behind it, right? Isn't that the way you're trained already? I mean, we become very astute, all politicians. What's behind it? I'm not so certain. This is a theory. I'm not so certain that she's totally unaware of the fact that this is a dangerous request. And the word katana, shelachat katana, is an indication of it. Could she, she's referred to as a number of times as a mama. A mama maybe doesn't always see things. Right? I'm not attacking motherhood, please. A mama can sometimes think, maybe this isn't the best interest of her son. Then again, I say my theory is, and I'm going to look through the Mephoshim and see if I can find somebody to hang my hat on, that maybe she's sending a message to Shlomo. There's not another word. She doesn't say another word. I think she's done her job. She's brought the information. Didn't you say that she wants to hear? She wants to hear? She wants to hear? She wants to hear. She heard, and she passes the message on. Vayishava HaMelech Shlomo. And King Shlomo swore. You see, here he's called HaMelech Shlomo again because he's acting. He's acting as Melech, this is a king. And he swore by God saying, Ko Yasel Elakim V'chol Yosef, so shall God do to me, and so shall he add. Ki benachsho diber Adoniyahu. It was by his life that Adoniyahu spoke at Hadavar Azeh, this one. He has placed his life on the line by saying it. By the way, this phrase, Ko Ya'aseh Li Elokim V'Cho Yosef, it appears for the first time in Sefer Shmuel in chapter 3, and it appears a good number of times in Shmuel and a number of times in Malachim, nowhere else. This is a form of oath. So shall God do to me, and so shall he add. In other words, if I don't do such and such, let God, for example, strike me down. But one doesn't mention the curse that he places on himself. It's like a half a sentence, and it's understood. Let him do, so shall he add to me. I promise I'm going to do such and such. Now, Chai Hashem, Asher Hachinani, I swear by God who has established me, by Yoshiveni al Kisei David Avi, and he made me, he was the one that made me sit on the throne of my father David, he made for me a home, a palace, a kingdom, as he had said, Ki hayom yumat Adoniyahu, today Adoniyahu will be put to death. Vayishlach HaMelech Shlomo b'yad ben Yehoshua ben Yehoyada. King Shlomo sent through ben Yehoshua ben Yehoyada, vayivgah bo vayamot, he ran him through and he died. The question whether Benayahu ben Yehoyada killed him himself or he gave the task over to Benayahu ben Yehoyada is mentioned in the Mefarshim. Usually what it means is the one in charge, the one responsible is the one who... for example, very often it says that David waged war and Shlomo, and Shaul waged war. Does it always mean that David himself was there waging war when one's soldiers do the job of the king? So that's it. And now already he takes steps on his own, steps that were not told to him by his father. He sees, by virtue of Adoniyahu ben Chagit's request, what he sees is that the embers of the rebellion are still in place. It's not over. He has to crush it now. The king said, Anatot lech al sadecha, go to Anatot, to your field, ki yishmavet ato, because you're a man of death. Today I'm not going to put you to death. Because you are the one who carried the Ark of God before my father David. And you suffered through all of the sufferings of my father. Who was the one that went with David? He was side by side with David during all the years of David's wanderings and when David was pursued. He was with him. So if Yatar HaKohen is banished to Anatot, who else comes from Anatot? Divrei Yirmiyahu ben Chilkiyahu min ha-Kohanim asher ba-Anatot. Anatot was a city, a village of Kohanim. So therefore, it's Yirmiyahu comes from Anatot, Evyatar is sent to Anatot. Where is Anatot? Right? Who said that? Right behind French Hill. I wasn't so certain about it, but... It's the village Antar, north of Har HaTzofim, and today it's part of Greater Yerushalayim. Then it was not, so he is banished and he is exiled to, it's behind French Hill, correct. And this is a fascinating pasuk. This is such a fascinating pasuk. Now that I said it, I have to prove it. Shlomo banished at Avyatar Mihiyot Kamin Hashem, from being a Kamin Hashem, Lemalei Advar Hashem, to fulfill the word of God, Asher Diber Al Beit Eli B'Shilo, that God had said about the house of Eli in Shilo. At the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, we are told that the Eli HaKohen had two children, Chofni Upinchas, and they did not conduct themselves properly, and therefore a man of God comes to Eli, and he tells him that something terrible is going to happen in Israel, that his children will die, and that for all times there will be a curse upon the house of Eli, that the members of the family of Eli will die young, and they will be removed from being Kohanim Gedolim, a curse upon the house of Eli. The curse begins to go, continues, in other words, first Chofni and Pinchas, of course, are killed, and now Evyatar is removed from being Kohen. Now, but look at what the Pasuk is saying. If we read the Pasuk incorrectly, one can even read it as Shlomo HaMelech is the one who is fulfilling the word of God. Ah, he knew that God had placed a curse on the house of Eli, and now he's fulfilling it. That's not what the Pasuk is saying. this is sort of a parenthetic comment by the Pasuk. You know what the Pasuk is saying? That in all of the events of the world, and this is not a simple concept, but you have to understand it. In the events that unfold before us, there are two levels. One level, the one that we see, is man acting, and man acting for his own reasons, with free will. Somehow or other, though man is never denied free will, everything that Shlomo did over here was... Shlomo HaMelech did not make the decision to banish Evyasar and remove him from the Kuna Gedola because he knew the story of Eli. It's not man's business to carry out God's punishment. You know who carries out God's punishment? The Reuven Shem does it. Shlomo HaMelech is acting out of absolute free will. There is nothing that coerces him or in any way forces him to do what he's doing except for his own decision. But what the Pasuk is telling us is how fascinating. There's another level of history. Someplace down there, there's a divine plan. The Reuven Shem has a plan. His plan is going to be played out by people who act freely. But ultimately, Atzat Hashem, the counsel and advice of God, is that which is going to prevail in history. Very often, mere mortals may be attempting to frustrate God's plan. And then mere mortal... What was the first chapter? Adonio ben Chagit thinks that he is going to frustrate God's plan. Shlomo is supposed to be king, and Adonio ben Chagit wants to be king. And as we pointed out over there, Natan HaNavi does not feel that he has to let events go as they are. He has to act as a responsible individual on his own. He has to set aside the fact that he knows that Shlomo is going to be king. Because as I said, since Natan HaNavi knows that Shlomo is going to be king, he can sit in the palace and twiddle his thumbs, watch with fascination how mere mortals are scurrying and running around in an attempt to stop that which God had ordained. Shlomo's going to be king. And Adonio ben Chagit, there must be bumper stickers, you know, Adonio, Yechi HaMelech Adonio. But he doesn't sit back, because man who has free will and has intellect has a responsibility to act on the basis of his free will and his mind. Shlomo HaMelech has not done anything here because he knows of some curse or voodoo or a pasuk or a gematria. He acts as a free individual. But the pasuk wants to tell us, isn't it interesting, after all of these years, precisely what God had said to Eli was being fulfilled. Interesting, the Gemara says that Abaye and Rava, two of the great of the Talmud, were from the house of Eli. One lived 40 years and one lived 60 years. The Gemara says there was one of the two had only Torah, he lived 40 years. The other had Torah and Gemilas Chesed, and he lived 60 years. And Abaye, for that matter, how did Abaye get his name, Abaye? There's a pasuk in Hosea that says, Asher Becho Yerucham Yatom, it's the Haftorah of Shabbos Shuvah. Asher Becho, in you, Yerucham Yatom, an orphan finds mercy and compassion. Because when his mother became pregnant, Abaye's father died, and his mother died in childbirth with him. So he remained with no parents at his birth. So the name Asher Becho Yerucham Yatom make up the name Abaye Aleph Beit Yud Yud. All right, let's go another few psukim, and then we'll leave you with homework. And I'm really only preparing you for the homework. So we're also going to watch in other things how God's plan somehow, you know, it's always being fulfilled, though man acts freely. The news reached Yoav. Now, what does Yoav know now? Two of the conspirators, in other words, Adoniyahu is dead, Evyatar is banished, And now the news reaches Yov. Ki Yov nata acharei Adon Yov v'acharei Avshalom lo nata. This we'll talk about next week, the fascinating pasuk that he was inclined, he seemed to be bent toward Adon Yov, but he was not one of those who followed Avshalom. V'yonas Yov v'lo Hashem, and Yov fled to the tent of God, v'yichazek b'karnot ha-mizbeach, and he held on to the corners of the altar. V'yugad l'melech Shlomo, and it was told to King Shlomo, ki nos Yov v'lo Hashem, that Yov had fled to the tent of God, he ate on his bear, and behold, he's bite on his bear. Ayishla Shlomo ben Yoav ben Yoyada lema lech begavo. Shlomo sent ben Yoav ben Yoyada saying, go, run him through. Ayov ben Yoav, Elohim Hashem, ben Yoav came to the tent of God. Ayomer Elohim, and he said to him, Ko Amar HaMelech, so says the king, say. Ayomer, so he said, no, ki po amut, here I will die. Ayoshev ben Yoav et HaMelech Dova, ben Yoav brought word back to the king saying, Ko diber Yoav v'chol anani, so said Yoav, and so I answered him. Ayomar HaMelech, the king told him, Asei kasher diber, do exactly as he said, ufagabo, run him through there, ukvarton, and bury him. V'hasirota demei chinam, asher shofach Yoav, me'olayu me'al beit avi, so that you will remove the innocent blood, blood in vain, that Yoav spilled, take that stain off of me and from the house of my father. And God will bring back upon him, on his head, the blood. He struck down two people who are righteous and better than him, by Yehargein Bacheret, and he killed them by the sword. Vavi David lo yada, my father David did not know. Did not know. I have this feeling that Shlomo, after all these years, still had to protest his father's innocence. No, he didn't know what Yoav planned to do. And Avner ben Ner Sarzvor, you saw Avner ben Ner, who was the commander chief of the force of Israel, that Amasa ben Yeter Sarzvor Yehuda, Amasa ben Yeter, who was the commander chief of the force of Yehuda. Shavu demeim berosh Yoav, their blood shall return upon the head of Yoav, who berosh Zaro l'olam, and upon his children forever. Ule David, ule Zaro, ule Beito, ule Chiso, yeh shalom ad olam, meim Hashem, and to David and his children, into his house, into his throne, there shall be peace forever from God. Vayav ben Yoav ben Yoyada, vayiv gabal v'yimiteu, ben Yoyada went up, he ran him through, and he killed him, by yikover b'veisot amidbar, he was buried in his house in the desert. We're going to go over these psukim. I'm helping you do some of your homework now. That's all that we're doing. You'll still have to go through chapter 3. Alright? Vayitin HaMelech ben Yoav ben Yoav tachtav al hatzavot, the king appointed ben Yoav ben Yoav in his place on the army, that Tzadok HaKorin Natan HaMelech tachtav Aviatar, and Tzadok HaKorin was appointed in place of Aviatar. Vayishlach HaMelech vayikra l'shimi. This is so fascinating. And I want you to think about it. I want you to think about this. The king sent and he called Shimi. Shimi ben Gera is the one whom his father said, be careful. And he said to him, B'nei l'cha bayit b'Yerushalayim. Build a house in Yerushalayim. V'yashavta shall I live there. V'lo teitzei misham ona v'ona. Don't go out of Yerushalayim here or there. V'hoyan it will come to pass. V'yon tzeitcha, the day that you leave Yerushalayim. V'avartat nachal kidron, and you will pass nachal kidron. You should know kimot tamut, that you're going to die. Dom cho yiyeh b'roshech, and then your blood is going to be upon your hands. V'yom Shimi l'amelech. Shimi said to the king, tov hador, it's good. Kasher diber adoni amelech. Ken yaseh avdecho, what my master the king said, so shall your servant do. V'yeshev Shimi b'Yerushalayim yamim rabim, and Shimi lived in Yerushalayim for a long time. V'yihi nikeit shalosh shanim, and it came to the end of 3 years. V'yivrichu shnei avadim l'Shimi. Two of Shimi's servants fled to Ochish ben Macha Melech Gat. V'yagidu l'Shimi lema, that told Shimi, hinei avadecho begat, behold, your servants are in Gat. V'yakom Shimi. Shimi got up. Vayachvoshet chamaro, and he saddled his donkey. Vayelech gata el Achish, and he went to Gat, to Achish, king of Gat, levakeshet avadav, to seek his servants. Vayelech Shimi, vayoveet avadav, migat. And Shimi went, and he brought his servants from Gat. In this pasuk, of course, what you have to take a look at, first of all, is the word vayakom. In our parashat Hashavu, we talked about vayakom. Vayakom, he got up, and it says vayelech. Twice it says Vayelech. Vayelech Gata Elochish, and then it says Vayelech Shimi Vayaveh. You know, just we're whetting your appetite. Vayugav Shlomo, and Shlomo was told, Ki holach Shimi Yerushalayim Gat Vayashov. Shlomo was told that Shimi had gone from Yerushalayim to Gath and he returned. Yishlach HaMelech Vayikra L'Shimi, the king sent and he called Shimi by Yom HaElavim and said to him, Halo, Hishbaticha B'Hashem, I made you swear, take an oath by God. V'Yid B'chol Leymar, and I warned you saying, Yom Seistah, the day you go, V'Halach to Onav HaOnav, you go here or there, Yadoa Teda, you should know Kimot Tamut, if you're going to die. Tomer Eli, and you said to me, Tov HaDava, you said to me, good, Shamate, I heard, V'madua lo Shamate, Tshivat Hashem. Why didn't you keep the oath of God that Hamitzvah should say, Yitio Lecha, the mitzvah that I commanded you? Yomer HaMelech HaShimi, the king said to Shimi, Atu Yadata, you know, at Kol Hadro Asher Yadala Bavcha, you know best all the evil that was in your heart, Asher Sita L'David Avi, that you did to my father, David. V'Hishiv HaShem Et Ra'at Chodeh, V'Roshecha, let God bring that evil upon your head. V'Melech Shlomo Baruch, King Shlomo is blessed, V'Chisei David Yiyah Nochon L'Vnei Hashem Ar-Olam, and the throne of David is going to be established before God forever. V'Yitzah HaMelech Et Ben-Yahud Ben-Yoyada, V'Yitzah, V'Yivka Bo, V'Yamad. He commanded Ben-Yahud Ben-Yoyada, he went out, he killed him and he died. V'Hamam Lochon Nochona V'Yad Shlomo. And the kingdom was established in the hands of Shlomo. We're going to go over this last part. You're going to have, the question that you have to think about, why did Shimi leave Yerushalayim? That's all. That's one of the homeworks. Yes? No. No, we'll see. Anyway, no. Why did Shimi leave Yerushalayim? No. He didn't make a mistake. No. Think about it. Think about it more. Think about it.